This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, black power and racial violence. Tonight's guest, H. Rapp Brown, former leader of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311. In New York, call 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Bring me some water.
Good evening. H. Rapp Brown is our guest tonight. He is out on bond pending the appeal of his conviction for violating the Federal Firearms Act. The conviction resulted from charges that he illegally carried a .30 caliber carbine from New York to New Orleans and back to New York last August while under indictment in Maryland for incitement to arson and riot. If he loses his appeal, Mr. Brown faces a prison sentence of 5 years and a fine of $2,000. Mr. Brown is a field worker for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, an organization which increasingly belies the nonviolent part of its name, at least as far as most white people are concerned. Mr. Brown is writing his autobiography for a fall publication, wants to talk to us tonight about several things, including black power, the entire American political system, the black man now holding political office in the United States, and the various candidates for the presidency of the United States. You can ask him questions about these subjects collect on our national phone number, which is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. That's collect from any place in the country where you are hearing Night Call. And in the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. In the New York area, again, that's 866-5010. Mr. Brown, good evening.
Hello.
What's the next step in black power? Do you have any timetable? What specifically are you going to do next?
I think, you know, what black people and people across the country must begin to talk about, the discussion should be not black power, but the revolutionary struggle in terms of black people and survival in this country. I think, you know, black power has been, the slogan black power has been co-opted and, you know, has been prostituted in every fashion that it could get, that can possibly be conceived. And I think, you know, what happens now is that black people must begin to quit talking about the black part of it and begin to develop the power.
There have been, as you said, the term black power has been kind of prostituted, but to many black people, the slogan black power has been something affirmative, and to many whites, it seems that it's something that they are kind of fearful of. How do you feel about that?
You say to many black people, it has been nothing affirmative?
No, I said it has been somewhat affirmative for them.
It has been affirmative.
Right.
I think, you know, like in terms of people, vanguard groups, and individuals who articulate sentiments of the black community, that, you know, slogan black power, and, you know, the positions of these organizations is that we articulated, and in a lot of cases we inspired in black people, you know, a type of black consciousness. That's not to say that we control black people, and I think what we have to address ourselves to now is to beginning to implant into that black community the necessity for a unity in terms of control of that power that lies in there.
When the press is reviewing the various black leaders throughout the country, and if they're, when they attempt to give some kind of evaluation, they always say, or they seem to say, that when it comes to the militant leaders such as H. Rapp Brown and Stokely Carmichael, we cannot deal with them, that we need to deal with some of the more moderate leaders. How do you feel in being, first, a leader, and number two, what is your feeling in terms of being the kind of leader who cannot be dealt with?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, we have to address ourselves to the WPP, White Power Press, White Power Peoples, or White People's Paper. Pick your choice. You know, in terms of their role, in terms of, you know, cutting down the momentum of the black movement, it's not to their benefit that black people in this country become free. And it is a basic question of freedom that black people are discussing in the revolutionary struggle. See, you're either free or you're a slave in this country. Nothing in between freedom and slavery. Freedom is absolute. So black people's struggle is for freedom, the right to self-determination. Now, in terms of being a leader, you see, I was the chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and that was it. You know, I do not see myself in the role as a leader. I articulate, rather, the sentiments of black people because the organization has a public forum not because I do it better than any black brothers in the street. I think you can't do it any better than Detroit and Newark. I think the brothers who did it there did it better than I ever will be able to do. But, you know, we had a public forum, in other words, and so therefore, this is the reason I articulated the sentiments of black people in the street. The movement is still a leaderless movement. Black people will choose their leaders. See, the white people will no longer make leaders for black people. Black people will choose who their leaders will be, and most likely it will be the brother who does the most fighting in the black community against the oppressors.
Many people have blamed you and Stokely Carmichael for most of the riots in this country.
Well, I blame Lynch and Johnson. So, I mean, you know, like, in terms of how can you blame a rebellion upon an individual? You see, rebellions are caused because of the conditions, and I think you have to distinguish between rebellions and riots. A riot is when white kids go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and throw beer cans at the cops because they're drunk. There's no political overtures there. But when black people began to go in the street and rebel and fight against tanks with bricks and bottles, that's rebellion because of conditions. They're fighting against that oppression. They're fighting for freedom. Same thing that's happening in Vietnam.
Well, now, there are people who feel that the militant stand that you take, that this has alienated many of the liberal whites who formerly were part of the Fight for Freedom movement. How do you feel about that?
Oh, well, Fanon says that, you know, the liberal is as much an enemy to the black person as a self-avowed racist. I would agree. You see, he can't be liberal about my freedom. I'm fanatic about my freedom. I don't need him to be liberal about my freedom. We don't need missionaries. We need revolutionaries. If you want to take up a gun and shoot some of them folks who are oppressing me, good, I can use him. Otherwise, you know, he can't say too much to me. I don't need his dough.
Black Power and Racial Violence with our guest tonight, Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and we'll begin to welcome some of our night call listeners, Mr. Brown, and we'll take our first call from South Bend, Indiana. Mr. John Petty is listening to Night Call over WSBT. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Brown. What I'd like to ask you, first of all, I want to direct these questions personally to you. Do you believe in freedom and democracy in the United States?
Do I believe in freedom and democracy in the United States?
Yes.
I know, as a matter of fact, it doesn't exist.
It
does not exist.
Why doesn't it exist? May I ask you that question?
Well, perhaps, you know, I should, you know, reverse and ask you the question. Seeing that you've been around longer than I, and I would interpret that you would be white or either Negro to ask that question.
Well, why doesn't it exist?
I think, you know, basically because of the military-industrial complex. Well, that's basically, but included in that basic would be because of racism in this country.
Racism? Now, I'd like more or less, and there's millions of other people like to... for you to define racism. What is racism? Could that be against the whites as well as against the colored?
Could racism be against whites as well as blacks?
Yes.
Well, I imagine it could, and at some point it might become real that black people will be racist against whites, and I'm not saying that that's undesirable.
Don't you think that there is a lot of that going on today?
I think it's perpetuated by, you know, the oppressors who happen to be white. It's not, you know, it's not coincidental that they're white. I think it's systematically planned that the oppressors in this country are white. They are the racists in the country.
Both colored and white.
What, races?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to deal, you know, I'm dealing from the position of who controls the power in this country, which influences individuals. You see, now, if you change a person's behavior, then you ultimately change his attitude. But if you're working on attitude and not behavior, then you're not going to be successful in it. If you can change a cat's behavior, if you control the power and you change his behavior, you don't have to worry about his attitude, whether he likes what he's doing or not. As long as he complies to it or with it, then you're ahead.
Well, here's another thing. You're talking about attitude. I just wonder, there's so much violence and that in the country, and so much of it is colored. Is that possible that colored is creating more violence or disturbing racial violence?
If you're talking about black people, we ain't doing it at the rate like we're going to be doing it, you see. Because in terms of violence, violence has always been in this country. It's not an institution that was developed with black people. You know, your country was founded on violence. You committed genocide against the Indians, and your history proves and bears fact the genocide against people of color. all the way down to the day in Vietnam. Now, when Johnson goes over to Vietnam along with the Pope and all the other white people in the world with flowers in his hand, then you don't like talk about negotiating with Vietnamese people, then we can talk about an ending of violence. But as long as he fights in Vietnam with guns and tell us to be nonviolent here, that's very unreal.
Well, here's another thing. You talk about United States and violence particularly. How about violence all over the world? How about over in the Congo, over in...
Chief perpetrator of violence and racism and oppression is this country here.
Don't they have that all over the world?
I said the chief perpetrator is this country here, the United States.
I don't think, would you think so?
I wouldn't think so, I know so.
You know, the China and India and all them countries been at war for years and years. Vietnam, you can go back in the 18th century, they've been at war over there.
I said today, we're talking about contemporary, you know, we're talking about contemporary international affairs. You know,
Mr. Petty and Mr. Brown, I would...
I'm sorry.
No, we don't want you to be sorry, just that we have a number of other people who would like to talk to Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thanks a million for you listening to me.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
This is Night Call in New York. Black power and racial violence is our subject tonight, and our guest is Mr. H. Rapp Brown. We'll take our next call from Portland, Oregon. Mrs. Ruthie is listening to Night Call over radio station KLIQ-FM. Welcome to Night Call. Yes, Mrs. Ruthie, welcome.
Mr. Shields?
Yes, we're here.
I'm so glad that you have this show. You know, if it, nothing else, it's communication between all people.
Thank you very much.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Mr. Brown?
Yes,
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
I wanted to know, first of all, have you served in the armed forces?
Thank goodness, no.
You haven't?
No.
May I ask you why?
Why?
Yes.
Because I made it very clear upon my reporting for induction, which I found unnecessary, that if the United States saw it fit to give me a gun and told me to shoot my enemy, then I would see fit to define who my enemy is. And I also made it very clear that if they gave me a gun and told me to shoot my enemy, I might shoot Lady Bird.
Mr. Brown, may I ask you, were you found unfit?
Unfit?
Yes.
For armed service? Oh, yes, I'm very unfit.
Well, I have a couple other questions to ask you. What, if anything, have you done constructively, or would you consider constructively?
In terms of what?
In terms of your people and your race, the black race.
What have I done constructively in terms of black people?
Right.
Oh, well, I've advised them to arm themselves. I consider that very constructive. What have you done constructive in terms of your people?
Wouldn't you consider that destructively?
Well, I mean, I said constructively. Now, if you choose to see it as destructive, then that's your prerogative.
Well, I guess so. And my next question is, don't you believe by your actions that you have hampered your people's cause? You seem to be diametrically opposed to Dr. Martin Luther King's attitudes and beliefs?
I think tactically we disagree. I think in terms of liberation, I think the struggle runs parallel.
You think so? One of my last questions is, would you tell me where you work and receive your funds from?
Where the organization, you know, the office to the organization?
Please, yes.
If there's an office in New York, which I work out of now. It's 105th Avenue.
What type of work do you do?
I'm sorry, what type of work do I do when?
Yes, no, As I said, where do you work and where do you receive your funds to carry on your work with?
Now, is this for the benefit of you sending funds or is it just for your information?
For my information. I mean, you know, I'm...
Mrs. Ruth, we established at the beginning that Mr. Brown is a field worker for the organization.
I didn't hear that.
I said we established at the beginning that Mr. Brown is a field worker for the organization.
Mr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
you know, now, like I say, I'm a housewife, and I watch TV.
Mrs. Ruthie, I'm sorry. We will have to break for station identification. If you want to hold on, we will come back to you right after station identification.
Okay.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H. Rapp Brown after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this nation through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence. And a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311, or in New York City, 866-5010, to H. Rapp Brown about black power. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our Night Call guest tonight, Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and on the telephone, on the line from Portland, Oregon, is Mrs. Ruthie. And just before we return to Mrs. Ruthie, who was addressing her questions to Mr. Brown, I would like to say to our audience that a number of people want to talk to Mr. Brown tonight, and we're going to ask your indulgence, if you'd be kind enough to please keep your questions short so that we can get as many telephones as possible, and as many telephone calls, rather, as possible. Mrs. Ruthie?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you were addressing your question to Mr. Brown.
I was wondering if, I have kind of an optimistic view for the United States, and I feel kind of sorry for people like Mr. Brown that have such a negative view, and I was wondering how he arrived at this negative point of view, because I think we're the greatest country in the world, and I'm all for our country, and I just... I wonder how he arrived at this, you know, because at one time I was very poor. I've never been black in my life, but I have many black friends, but I wonder how he arrived at this totally negativism point of view.
Well, if you've never been black, perhaps you're not aware of it, but let's ask Mr. Brown to answer.
In
terms of negativism, we don't even deal with that. The question for black people in this country today is survival. Anytime a country with a history like America for genocide against people of color, you know, begins to escalate a genocide against black people in this country, it's time to become negative to the extent of retaliation.
You
asked a question, and if I can finish addressing myself to your question. Now, I think, you know, like in terms of black people surviving in this country, or surviving, you know, period, they're going to do it by any means necessary. Now, in terms of the violence, people like to talk about violence and black people, the use of violence among black people. Now, if violence is necessary, then black people will employ violence, but we do not determine what tactic will be used. It's the oppressor who determines what tactic the oppressed people will use, you know, to rid themselves of that oppression.
Well, I think if you were to talk of violence in the United States, you could never hardly ever mention the black people because, like you say, they have been oppressed.
Mrs. Ruthie?
They've always been victims of that violence,
anyway,
too.
Mr. Brown, I want to thank you for talking with me this evening. And Mr. Del Shields, I want to thank you on behalf of KLIQ.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight we're discussing black power and racial violence with Mr. H. Rapp Brown, who's also calling in from New York, and we welcome your comments and your conversations. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, if you're calling that number, you may call collect, and we welcome your call. If you're calling locally in New York, 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Mr. Brown, we'll take our next call from Miss Diana Ward, who's listening tonight call over WTLC in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to Night Call.
Hello. Mr. Brown, I'd like to ask you, what is the very best answer that you could give people, black and white both, who ask, why the violence, why the rioting in the cities?
Oh, I can give you a solution to, solution for the ending of violence among black people in the country. Disarm the police.
Now, I don't want a solution. I want to know, what do I tell people who question me? I know in my heart what I feel, but I want your opinion. What to say to these people when they say, aren't we doing more harm than good?
Aren't black people doing more harm than good when they rebel against conditions?
They say, you're hurting your own cause, and this and that.
Yeah, well, in terms of that, you see, revolutionary struggle, there are no guidelines for revolutionary struggle, as I pointed out before, and the tactics employed are never determined by the oppressed group. Now, black people in this country are going to fight that oppression and the repression that comes down, you know, by any means necessary. Now, when people say that black people are hurting their cause, you have to tell, you have to point out that the basic question is freedom. See, black people in this country are still slaves. As far as I'm concerned, we have not made any progress for 400 years. They took the chains off your feet and put them on your mind. And, black people are still in the same dilemma. Things can't get any worse for black people in this country. They give you concessions and tell you that's progress. They gave you a Negro astronaut. They gave you Thurgood Marshall. You see, but at the same time, they took Adam Clayton Powell. They took Muhammad Ali's title, which points out that the things that they gave you, concessions, they can always take them back. So you can't hurt your struggle. When you're on the bottom, it ain't no place to go.
I agree with you 100%, and I'm very glad to have heard you state it this way.
Thank you.
And thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. You may call collect, and our local telephone number is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Tonight we're discussing black power and racial violence. We'll accept our next call from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mr. Weintraub is listening to Night Call over KSJN-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to direct just one question to Mr. Brown. If your name were H. Rapp White, and you were a white man who feels guilty, if not if not for being prejudiced or having discriminated against the black man directly, at least indirectly, and he wants to do something, what would you be doing?
Well, I think, in terms of what, if you're asking what white people can do, I think that you can pick up a gun to end the oppression of black people in this country. If, in terms of what John Brown did, but without John Brown's paternalistic attitude toward black people.
You feel that that is the most practical, if you could be a practical man now besides an idealistic man,
I think that
is the way.
Well, I think that's the most practical thing that can be done in terms of white people. You see, because you've had 400 years to eliminate, the type of thing that exists in the white community, which you felt, failed to deal with. So now it becomes black people's responsibility to eliminate it by any means necessary.
Well, I happen to disagree with your methods, but thank you anyway.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling outside of New York City, we welcome your telephone call collect. And if you're calling locally, 866-5010. Black power and racial violence we're discussing tonight with Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and we'll take our next call from Mr. Louis Testemark, who's listening to Tonight Call over WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Shield.
Good evening, sir.
I would like to first state that I enjoy your program very much. I've been trying to get in contact with you since the program was on, and I feel that, you know, solo New Yorkers, you should be giving more line to them, because we are the ones that, you know, are in the ghettos and are, you know, are of this oppression. And that these outside people, they don't really know what's happening. They're just stating their opinions and views. And in response to a woman I was listening to tonight, who wondered why, you know, why Mr. H. Rath Brown thought the way he did. Well, you can just take a look at Governor Wallace, you know, the way he states his opinions towards the black man and towards the black people in general. I would like to further say that the only solution that I see is that is going to boil down to one cause or the other, where we're going to have to, where the black man is going to leave this country and look for a place to unite, which is in Africa. Now, being that this woman asked another question, which was why we felt this way. Well, as Mr. Brown stated, the 400 years, or really 6,000 years of slavery that we are now in, and now the time for the deliverance, the hand is moving, you understand? So the people cannot really wonder what's happening. But then you have to look, and I was listening to some program tonight on the, I think it was involved in the Congress. There are no black members on those boards. That there's no, you know, there is no representation. There's no so-called integration between, say, black and white, which is supposed to be running the country. We are, the black man is running the country today. He's doing, you can take a look from the garment centers to any part of the industry, and you will find a black man upholding the country. If the black man walks out of this country today, the country will drop to its feet. And the white man knows this. But being that he has brainwashed us from bringing us from Africa, and then he wonders why we have turned on him. Well, as I greatly appreciate that comment that Mr. Brown did make, being that he said the chains have been taken off our feet and been put on our mind, meaning the brainwash. And this is why we have been fighting each other.
Let's find out what Mr. Brown has to say, Mr. Testamark. He's our guest tonight, so let's hear from him, all right?
I think you have to expand on that concept of, you know, like, who is the enemy in this country, you see, because I think, you know, the enemy is not only Wallace. See, it's, you know, like, it's not only Wallace, it's Kennedy, it's McCarthy. And, you know, it's people who control this country. Rockefeller, because Rockefeller oppresses people here, and he oppresses people all around the world.
Right.
Now, in terms of, you know, like politics, I think politics are irrelevant to black people in this country.
Right.
The only thing that we can use the vote for in this country is to organize black people, you see. And, you know, in terms of politics, there's no difference between the Republican and Democratic Party. The similarities are greater than the differences. There's no such thing as bipartisan politics. Politics in the country are very partisan. Matter of fact, it's a monolithic political monopoly by white people, you
right.
see, and rich people, but more white than rich. You see, because black people can have money in this country and still be oppressed.
Right, right.
So I think, you have to broaden that whole concept of politics and what politics is in this country. And the type of politics that exists in the present system, you know, is not applicable for black people. Nor can it ever be applicable for black people.
I would say no. I would say this much. There's a vast inhabited, you know, land or a portion of land that in Africa today. Now, a vast amount of people wonder why, you know, there can be no one living there. Well, this is the conclusion. Because I am a believer in God, you know, and besides, my religion is Hebrew. And that portion of land there is for us, from the ones that were brought from Africa over here. You understand? Because when we were over there, we knew not of violence. Because after we were brought over here and taken advantage of, we learned this from the white man, and now it has come and is turning back on him. Now it is
Mr.
turning
Testamark,
back on him so much that he is fighting himself.
Mr. Okay. Testamark, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we'll have to break for station identification. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H. Rapp Brown after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Large numbers of black people in this country are coming to the point where almost no action, violent or nonviolent, legal or illegal, is looked upon as being the sort of action that will help. And I think that's a dangerous point for us, where we reach the point where nothing is likely to help us. And it means, I think, almost the beginning of suicide.
Julian Bond, the black politician, is pessimistic, and a white ethics professor has faith.
I don't agree we're all upset. In spite of the many faults of the white people, I think there's a strong reservoir of compassion in a lot of white people in this country, and a strong desire to see that the black man does get his right.
These voices, plus your own voice of question or comment, are Night Call. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311, or in New York City, 866-5010, to H. Rapp Brown about black power. Again, Del Shields.
And we welcome many of the stations who are kind enough to join the Night Call network shortly after 12 midnight. Our guest tonight is Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and we've been taking quite a few phone calls during the first half hour. And we'll continue, but just before we do so, Mr. Brown, I'd like to pose this question to you prior to station identification. You indicated in your remarks that there didn't seem to be much hope politically for the black men in this country from the various candidates who are currently competing for office. Is there any one that is better or lesser than the other?
No, there's no such thing as lesser of evils. Evil is evil. You see, in terms of politics, now my position is that, you know, the politics as it is defined in this country today is not relevant to black people. Black people can only be concerned with the politics of revolution and revolutionary struggle and to the right, for the right of self-determination. Now, you know, I pointed out that there is no difference between the Republican and Democratic Party. And you see, this is one of the tricks that has been run on black people for years and years. You know, they say, well, you know, like, we're Republicans and we're Democrats. And the Democrats even broke it down and said, well, you know, we have a segment in the Democratic Party called the Dixocrats. And so it's not the Democrats who are really holding black people back. It's the Dixocrats. But that's a lot of jive, you see. Because, you know, there's no difference between Lyndon Johnson and George Wallace. There was a difference, but his wife died, so there ain't no difference now.
Well, the black vote is going to be extremely important during the coming election. Both parties will be vying for the black vote. Now, do you have any advice for the black people in terms of the direction that they should go politically?
I don't think black people can even be involved, you know, can even associate themselves with that election. We will have to be prepared to fight whoever gets that office, you see. Camus said once, what better way to enslave a man than give him the vote and call him free? See, that does not assure black people of freedom because they go to the polls and cast their votes because they can't determine who they should vote for. You see, they can't determine who should run, rather, and which is, ultimately, they can't determine who they should vote for.
Well, you are in favor of black candidates?
No, no.
Running for office.
In the system as it exists today?
No. I beg your pardon?
No, no. In the system as it exists today, no. I think, you know, the greatest enemy to black people today are the black candidates, are the black office holders in this country today, who are puppets of the white people. You see, black people in Cleveland, black people in Gary, black people in Washington, D.C., exist in a type of neo-colonial situation. And, you know, in other words, the man put a puppet there, Walter Washington, Stokes of Cleveland, and Hatcher. And these people, you know, whenever the time comes to move black people to concentration camps, the word will be given to Hatcher and Stokes. And, you know, they are going to do it because they have repeatedly announced their allegiance to the Democratic Party, you know, and Brooks to the Republican Party, not to black people, but to the Democratic and Republican Party. And I think that's very significant. They are Democrats before they are black people.
Well, there are people who feel that if you're going to affect the change, you have to change from within.
If you're going to affect the change on the system?
Right.
In terms of, you know, like in terms of organizing, as a tool for organizing black people. I think, you know, like the vote is significant in that it can be utilized as a tool to organize black people. But to organize a mechanism, a third party, to operate in the system as it exists today, you know, the monolithic political system as it exists today, I think that's very unreal. And I think what they're doing is putting black people into a further trick.
We'll welcome some additional phone calls from our Night Call listeners, Mr. Brown. We'll take our first phone call from Mr. Larson, who's listening to Night Call over WERE in Cleveland. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Oh, hello, Mr. Brown.
Yes, go
ahead. Yes, well, I would like to make a couple of points. First, on violence. Although I'm very sympathetic with your position, your entire position, I must say that as far as violence goes, there's so much. The violence comes from the Caucasian psyche. I mean, his psychology is so overloaded with violence that it doesn't take much to trigger it. And there's so much hysteria in the white establishment that this is the problem. Actually, I don't so much talk of black violence, but as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist. Black violence just doesn't exist, really, because it's all a reaction to the white power structure. In other words, the situation is very strange because to give an example. Say the white man is sitting on the black man's chest, and the black man tries to free himself, and the white man calls this violence. But actually, all he's trying to so the white man doesn't have to move at all. The power structure doesn't have to budge, but yet it's still it's sort of a the status quo itself is violence. So it seems to me this is the situation, and that I would try not to exacerbate the. This hysteria in the white, because they are sort of obsessed with violence, although it's their own violence, of course. And another point I would like to make is on the black power. I think it's very important that the black community gain control of its for itself, that is, and disengage from the white establishment, because Caucasians can never really empathize with the black man. And so I think that I really think that it's important that the black man try to disengage from the white establishment and control his own community. I think this is very, very important.
Okay, in terms of your first point of hysteria, white people have always been hysterical about things they oppose, so that doesn't alarm me that white people are hysterical when black people began to talk about retaliation. However, black people at this point are still reacting to the oppression, and this is why I say black people must move from revolt to revolution, you see, from rebellion to revolution. It's, you know, in terms of the revolutionary consciousness, the revolutionary attitude of black people today is not developed at its Phoenix. It's not where it will be in a few years, you see. I think, you know, like, revolutionary struggle occurs in evolutionary processes. I think, you know, rebellions are a legitimate part of it. I think in terms of the whole concept of violence has to be discussed in that black community, because violence is being discussed in the white community, and not only that, violence is being pumped into, you know, the minds of black people as being something that they should not employ to their benefit. And it should always use it when the man says use it, in other words. But I think, you know, the whole discussion of violence is very valid. Black people have always been violent, but we have been violent toward each other. We've never been violent toward that enemy, the real enemy in this country. Now, in terms of control, it's very unreal to talk about black people controlling their communities. They cannot control their communities unless they control this country. See, you can't talk about controlling Harlem if you don't control the water and the electricity that flows into Harlem. If you don't control those resources that go into Harlem. So I don't think, you know, I think in terms of control, black people must begin to think on a broader basis of control, not control of your community. It's unreal to talk about controlling your community if you don't control that outer environment of your community.
Right. Well, I mean complete control, Mr. Brown. This is what I mean.
Well, and, you know, then the discussion becomes, you know, how do you accomplish those ends for
right.
control?
Well,
and if you're telling me that you can't, you can't relate, if black people can't begin to relate the beneficiary aims of violence to gaining control, then, you know, like, it's a denial of what white people have done in this country and abroad for years.
Right.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, Black Power and Racial Violence. We're discussing tonight with Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and we welcome your telephone calls and your conversation and your comments by calling our national number, which is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Remember, if you're calling from out of town, we welcome your telephone call collect. Our next Night Call listener, Mr. Thomas Clapper, who's listening to Night Call over WSBT in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you. I have three very short questions. Mr. Brown, first, how do you justify the looting and burning by Negroes of various establishments that recently happened in Washington and other cities?
I have one very short answer. I don't try to justify.
Second question. True, Negroes are poor. Some Negroes are poor. But why do you feel they should have the same rewards without being willing to work as hard for these benefits?
You want to ask all your questions and I'll answer them, or what? Do you want to treat them individually?
Treat them individually, please.
Now, in terms of black people not working, that's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. Black people built this country up. The country was built on the back of black people. You know, black people were slaves in this country and still are slaves. We work for the lowest wages. In terms of a vehicle to escape that, it does not exist for black people because black people are easily identified by their color. This is where racism comes into play. Black people exist in this country in a colonial type of situation, a situation very similar to what happens in Puerto Rico with, you know, the chief exploiters and, well, who are white and the Puerto Rican people. You see, black people in this country, you know, like, cannot escape this because they are black and they will be black 24 hours a day. So what happens is that when a Jewish person or an Italian person comes to this country and has been able to work himself out of poverty, you know, it's because he's not black. He does not carry a color, a type of identification around with him all day. And because of racism, black people cannot do it. And I don't think in terms of the way capitalism operates in this country that it's desirable for black people to become capitalists, you see.
Third question. You stated a while ago that America was objectionable to you. If this is the case, why don't you go elsewhere which your philosophy may be more compatible?
No, I'd rather run you out of here.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Our next call from New York City, Mr. Barnett is listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Has anyone or is anyone making any plans for a benefit in your behalf, you know, mainly for financial support, if you might need any?
Well, you know, financial support is always needed.
Right.
Now, in terms of people to contact, you should get in touch with the SNCC office in New York.
Right.
It's 105th Avenue, Suite 803.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And second question, how, other than financial support, can the blacks in general of this country help you to fight the political machinery that is basically trying to enslave you and, you know, silence you?
Right. Not only me. I think, you know, like, black people who are in vanguard positions all across the country are affected in the same way that I am. Muhammad Ali, Huey P. Newton, you know, like Eldridge Cleaver, and Cleveland Sellers, who's in prison right now, Max Stanford. I think black people like this who occupy vanguard positions have to be protected by that black community. You have to be prepared to move when the racist power structure comes down on them. If they touch one of us, they touch all of us. You see, because ultimately they will get everybody. If they are allowed to get me, then they will get everybody else. You see, Muhammad Ali should not have lost his, you know, the championship which he rightfully owns. Adam Clayton Powell should not have lost that seat. If black people were prepared to retaliate, it would not have happened. But you see, I think black people have to begin to organize in their communities. We are not outnumbered, we are out-organized, as has been pointed out. So I think, you know, we have to organize on every level and be prepared to deal with people who offend people in our community and who, you know, touch and impede upon people in our community. So I don't think it's just a problem of me. I think you have to, you know, do basic organization and legwork. You got to be prepared to go in the street when the man touches you. I mean, if whether it's in the street to do something, some harm to him, or whether it's in the street to protest against what he does. But you have to be prepared.
Very good. Thank you very much, Ralph. And you.
Okay, yeah. Bro.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, and we will Break now for station identification, and then we'll return with our guest, Mr. H. Rapp Brown. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H. Rapp Brown after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Prophet Isaiah says, your cities are burning because there is injustice in your land, and the Lord will not hear you because your hands are full of blood. Now, I will interpret that to say, the United States is on fire, its cities are burning because there's injustice in the land, and the Lord above will not hear the cries of people like Lyndon Baines Johnson because his hands are full of blood.
Stokely Carmichael quotes the Bible in support of militancy. And a National Guard commander says ballots, not bullets, are the best ammunition.
I think you have a tremendous power in the democracy of the ballot box. It's much stronger than bullets. You do have the ballot box, which is far stronger than any sort of suppression.
Night Call, the new nationwide call-in show on vital issues, each weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311, or New York phone number 866-5010, to H. Rapp Brown about Black Power. Again, Del Shields.
Our guest, Mr. H. Rapp Brown, and we will continue to accept additional phone calls from Night Call listeners across the country. And this time for Mr. Donald Brantz, who is listening to Night Call over KBON in Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Well, I would like to remind Mr. Brown that Adam Clayton Powell and also the president of the boxing champion of the world, Muhammad Ali or Mr. Clay, they were both proven guilty of breaking the law of the land, and that's the reason why they lost out. And I would say this, I think Mr. Brown is losing more and more support and losing more followers. The more he talks, the more support he loses. And my first question is, first of all, God help us if you have your way through violence.
God help you anyway, chump.
I don't think violence is the answer because it has never proven to be God's will to use violence to kill and to hurt people. But my question is this, and then maybe you can have a comment. If you think America is so bad, and you claim to be a communist, do you not?
Is your mother a communist?
Do you know what the Russian government would do to you if you spoke out of turn in a communist country? Well,
Mr. Brown did not say that he is a communist, and there was no discussion at all.
I'll deal with that. Don't even worry about that, man.
If you want to destroy America and our freedom, what chance would you have in Russia or a communist country where they'd cut your head off so fast the minute you spoke out of line in a communist country, they wouldn't put up with you for 1 minute. And here in America, we have the freedom to say anything we want to against the president or say anything we want to against our country. We can write our president nasty letters and all kinds of stuff. When we have this freedom. But I think the answer is through, I think Dr. Martin Luther King had a lot of the answers, but this violence and killing and fighting each other certainly wouldn't be the right attitude from my standpoint.
No, I'm glad that's on your standpoint, and, you know, think about where Dr. King is today. Now, in terms of, you know, like Adam Clayton Powell and what happened to him, you see, Thomas Dodd, you know, who was white, was also convicted. But you see what happened to Thomas Dodd. And we can go down the line. You see, Senator Eastland's father, you know, who was a lynchman, you know, who also occupied a political position. You see, it's the whole question of color in this country and what can be gotten away with in this country, you see. In terms of the people who, the person who allegedly, and I say allegedly because this is how it's played up in the newspaper, allegedly shot Dr. King. You know, he was white. But any time that a black person is picked up, the newspaper says that, you know, he's been picked up for murder. You know, he never says allegedly for murder. This is the type of racism embedded into society. The whole question of violence, I don't, you know, like, even choose to discuss with you because obviously you don't understand, you know, like, the whole nature of the society you live in. But in terms of the freedom of speech, yeah, I say there is no freedom of speech in this country. I say you're free to say some things. You see, now the things that I said, you know, I took liberty to say, I'm paying for it today. You see, because in terms of the trial, there was no legal grounds for me to be arrested. And I was arrested in Virginia under the fugitive slave law in your free country. So the whole question is not a question of free, whether you can speak or not. See, because you can only speak about certain things in this country, and you better know it. So there is no freedom of speech. In terms of the courts and justice in this country, there is no separation from law and politics. The courts are controlled by the politicians. There's no separation of that. So, I mean, don't talk to me about how free America is. Because, you know, America is not free. America is no different from Russia. I mean, Russia is a few miles away from here, but Russia is white and this country is white.
Well, Mr. Brown, I know that the Negro has been oppressed in this country. I'm 42 years old. I'm no kid. I'm not no dummy either.
Yeah.
I can say this. I can see improvements in my time.
Name them.
I've seen a great deal of improvement.
Name them.
I know that I sat on a jury. I sat in a jury right here in Omaha, and I seen the white jurists speak up in defense of Negroes and speak out in, without showing a bit of prejudice because of their color. I know what you say, that there are places where a Negro can't get a job. I'll admit that. I know that's true, that Negroes haven't been able to get jobs where they should have been qualified, where they were qualified, and they were turned down because of their race and color. And it's wrong. We'll agree with that. That's wrong.
Well, you know the history of America better than I thought you did.
There's a lot of injustice going on, and I'll admit that that's wrong. I don't want to take any more of your time. I think our goals are the same, but I don't want to...
I don't think so. You see, I'm not going to let you get away with saying our goals are the same. I think, you know, we're diametrically opposed.
I don't believe in this violence. I wouldn't hurt. I wouldn't even kill an animal. I wouldn't shoot a bird. I couldn't hurt nobody.
Oh, really?
On purpose. I couldn't kill.
Mr. Brands?
Well, you're the kind of person who should be controlled in the country, you see.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Unfortunately, you don't control the country.
If I had to defend myself, I'd probably kill, yes, but I wouldn't kill as a grudge against my neighbor.
Well, unfortunately, you don't control the country, so therefore we're caught in to a different situation.
Thank you for calling,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll take our next call locally from Miss Minerva, who's listening to Night Call over WWRL. Welcome to Night Call.
I'd like to speak to H. Rap Brown and tell him that the black people in America have been slaves ever since the 1600s and 1500s. And I feel that we've been living here long enough to have our rights, just like the white people. And the people that are running now, they're running for presidency and Senate and stuff like this in New York. They're just using the black person as a scapegoat
right.
to get to their office or whatever they want to be. Because I live in a slum area, and I'm going to let you know, I've been living here for 5 years, and I don't see no changes. I don't even see what a sanitation department does that much for that matter. And I feel that I am being depressed because I go to school, and you can't talk about black power in school. You just let the teacher know when, you know, they have their little few lines of history in the history book, and they tell us, this is what he did, a couple of lines, and they tell us in class after Martin Luther King died, oh, he's going to get be in the history book, but he's going to be just like the other colored people in the history book, a couple of lines, and that's all. And I don't think this is fair. And as for the other man that was talking, I think he was wrong completely altogether, because he doesn't know, he will never know what the African, the black African in America is going through until he is black.
Thank you for calling.
Sister, okay. I don't need to add nothing to that.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Lawhead is calling from Portland, Oregon, from radio station KLIQ. Welcome to Night Call, sir. Mr. Lawhead?
Yes.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Who am I speaking to?
This is Del Shields, and Mr. Brown is on the line.
Thank you.
State your question, sir.
Number one, I would like to ask whether Mr. Brown feels that within this country, the whites and the blacks are able to live together peacefully.
With white people in control, I have seen no existing example of peaceful coexistence among black and white people. However, I think the question is much broader. It should be much broader. It's not only white and black. It's other oppressed people also who happen to be people of color. I think you have to talk about the Puerto Rican American, the Japanese American, the Mexican American, the American Indian.
Well, then I think the logical
And I don't think there's peaceful coexistence among any of these groups in relation to the white people who control this country.
You don't think this is possible?
I don't see any working example of it.
Well, I would have a tendency to agree. Again, I ask the question, do you think there's a possibility?
I think in terms of what's the, you know, in terms of the positions of power, once that has been shifted, once the system that exists in this country has been destroyed and people strive for the right to self-determination, I think there can be peaceful coexistence between people of races.
Would this be with compatible power or individual race power?
I think that's determined by the nature of the struggle.
Nature of struggle and represent in reference to percentage of population?
No, in reference to the revolutionary struggle.
Let's digress, if I might, for just one second. Do you feel that the legislative process in reference to civil rights legislation has assisted your personal cause so far?
Has assisted? No, because I think that it's been beneficial to white people, and it was passed for white people primarily.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of civil rights, we're not even discussing civil rights. We talk about human rights, which is much broader. We talk about the rights for the Vietnamese people. We talk about the rights of Chinese people. We talk about the rights of Africans, as well as black people in this country and other oppressed people in this country.
Well,
civil rights confines the struggle to the geographical area in this country, whereby we know we don't have a chance.
Well, again, and let me rephrase the question, the civil rights legislation, according to your particular terminology, then, is in reality human rights legislation.
No, it's not. It is civil rights legislation. Which has proven to be a lot of written intellectual masturbation, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I would have a tendency to agree with you. In fact, I like your semantic expression. But again, I'm trying to pin you down as to whether or not you feel this has assisted you individually or personally in your particular cause. Is the answer
when you
yes?
speak of individually, are you speaking of black people or as me as a person?
You as a person.
No, and I don't think it has benefited black people either.
Then do you feel a repeal of civil rights or humanic legislation would assist you?
Would assist black people? I think the more repression increases in this country, the more black people will intend to resist that repression. And I think that's desirable.
Mr. Lawhead,
yes.
We have about 30 seconds for Mr. Brown to kind of wrap up. We thank you so much for calling, sir.
I appreciate it very much. I've enjoyed it. I might say again in passing, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Right.
Mr. Brown, we've got just about 1 minute, and we didn't touch on Resurrection City, but I would just like to get your views on how successful you think the campaign was.
Right. I think, you know, Resurrection City came about as a effort at an economic program for black people in this country, and I don't think that that's the problem. You see, if you realize what happens when you get caught into an economic bag of black people, you know, getting money, see, there's no such thing as green power. Green power is a myth, as long as the man controls the power to change the color of money. See, he did it on the Confederates. He'll do it on black people. So what's going to happen if he gave black people all the green money in the world and told them that he has to work for
Mr. Brown,
tomorrow?
Sorry to cut into you, but thank you so much for being our guest on Night Call.
Okay.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station. Is the church a joke? Jackie Robinson says it is, at least when it comes to race relations. And the former baseball star will tell it the way he thinks it is. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition. We'll be right back.